2 Timothy chapter 3. I believe we got down to last week to traitors. And so this morning we're going to be looking at heady and high-minded. Lord willing, we'll be able to hit both of those this morning. Let's go ahead and read, starting in verse 1. The Bible says this: "Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." All right, if you will, look at verse 4 there. Last week, as I said, we looked at traitors, and in particular looked at just the way that we become traitors to the Lord and quit on God. And if you will, hold your place there and turn to Romans chapter 10. Get Romans chapter 10. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Make that Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and we'll start in verse 11. Romans 14, verse 11, the Bible says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Now, the reason he's saying that is because of what he said up through there in the verses before that in Romans, and he's talking about each of us just dealing with what we have our own problems with and doing our service to God as an individual and not worrying about what everybody else does. And however, if somebody else acts a certain way, then they got to deal with God over that. And he says, the reason is he says, because as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And he goes on to say, "So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God." And what he's saying there is, he says, is you need, before you worry about anybody else, you need to worry about yourself. You need to make sure that you're doing the things right that you're supposed to do. Don't excuse yourself because of how somebody else acts, or just try to make yourself look good because of how somebody else acts. Look now over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul is writing here to the church at Corinth. And he says here in verse 10, talking about the church, talking about him, and he says, "For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present." And the reason he says that is because in the next verse there, he's getting ready to tell them the way they act. And he says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves." In other words, he says, we're not going to compare ourselves to people who act to where they're commending themselves among themselves and talking about how good they are. He says, we're not even going to compare ourselves with that. And he goes on to say, "But they," talking about that type of person, "measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." And he goes on to say, "But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly." Now, In verse 13, he say, or verse 12, he says, "But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." And basically what he's saying is you're setting up a measuring stick there that can make anybody look good. And regardless of how ugly you are this morning, how ugly you are, if you can find somebody in this world that's uglier than you are, and you could set them down beside you, and if you were the only two people that's left on the earth, and you know you're male, and there's a woman there, and she looks at that, you might be able to be lucky enough there to get the woman, and because of who you put over there beside yourself to make yourself look good. And what Paul's sitting here is telling his church at Corinth, he says, your problem is you're sitting here and you're comparing yourselves among yourselves. And he says, you're not wise while you're doing that. And basically what he means is he says, you need to get a better ruler. You need to get a better measuring stick. You say, why? Because when you do that, then you begin to see yourself as you look. And when you get a measuring stick that is Jesus Christ and you put yourself beside Him, as opposed to the guy who talks about everybody, even though you don't talk about anybody, or the guy that, you know, he's got a rough way he acts and you don't act that way, or he stinks and you don't stink, or whatever you want to do, however you want to talk about it, it's easy to make yourself feel good and easy to make yourself look good and feel good about yourself. Well, you know, I'm not as others are, and I'm not like this, and I'm not as that. But what you got to do is you got to get a measuring stick, which is called the Lord Jesus Christ, and your ruler needs to be a King James Bible. And when you sit there and you begin to look in the perfect law of liberty as a man holding himself in a mirror there in a glass, you see yourself as you are. And the problem with us Christians today is we like to compare ourselves to everybody else. We like to look at people that are just reprobating this world, or you look at murderers, or you look at people that do wrong and say, boy, I wonder why God just don't judge somebody like that and kill somebody like that. Wonder why God keeps letting somebody like that live. And maybe the fact is because that person right there realizes how bad of a person they are. And at nighttime, maybe they're asking God to forgive them and give them extra time. And maybe they just keep messing up and God's having mercy with them. But as what we do is we sit here and we think that we're better than that. And what we do is we don't look at our sins. We don't look at a sin that we have about gossiping and hold it to the same light as somebody else who might be a thief or who might be bad to their kids or doing something else. And we just build ourselves up. And in America, with humanism the way it is, it's just so easy to do that. And it's easy because that's the norm. You sit around and listen to people talk for a while, what you realize is that they think quite a bit of themselves. And you sit there and we listen, we talk about other people, and we really do think that we got it going on. And now we know what to say. If somebody says, well, buddy, do you sin? Oh, why, yes, sir. Yeah, I sin. Are you kidding? Well, the point is not knowing how to answer a question. The point is looking in the Bible and realizing this right here is the way I am. I am this way, and I've got to get this thing fixed. Now, I say all that to say this morning. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. As we've went down this list of sins here, what we want to do is we want to realize that this ain't about pointing out other people's problems. This is about God talking to you about your problems. And He does it, look over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, when I was going through 1 Timothy, and I began to talk to you about chapter 2 here, I went through this also. And what you have here in chapter 2 is you have what's made up of a church. In chapter 2 here, in the first part of chapter 2, he's talking about men. And he says in verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And he says, whereunto verse 7, I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And he says in verse 8, I will therefore, because of everything he said, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubt. And he's telling men how they're supposed to act. All right, in verse 9, he says, in like manner also, that women, and he begins to tell women how to act, how to adorn themselves, and it's talking about their walk with the Lord, talking about their communication. And so he tells a man how he's supposed to act. He tells a woman how she's supposed to act. And now look over in chapter 3 as it begins to keep going. And he says in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then, he begins to talk about a bishop and how he's supposed to act. And he goes on down and he begins to talk to deacons. Down in verse 12, he says, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children their own house as well. For they have used the office of a deacon, for they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchased themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And he also talks about deacons' wives there. And you say, well, he's talking about all these people. What's the point? Well, he goes on to tell you in verse 14 what the point is. He says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. He's talking about a local church there. And he begins in chapter 2 talking about a man. And he goes on to talk about a woman. And he begins to talk about a bishop, which is a pastor. And he begins to talk about a deacon and a deacon's wife. And you say, what do those people make up? They make up a church. That's what they make up. And you say, well, what's his point? The point is that the man is not supposed to be worrying about the deacon's wife. He's supposed to be worrying about himself. And the deacon's wife don't need to be worrying about the pastor. The deacon's wife needs to be worrying about the deacon. And the pastor needs to be taking care of his own responsibilities as he has in the church. You say, what's the point? We don't need to be comparing ourselves among ourselves. We've all got something we have to do and we got to take care of. And that's what God wants each and every person to do. Romans 14, he says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And he says, you're wasting your time worried about everybody else. One of these days, you're going to stand before God and you're going to give account of yourself. And you're not going to be able to put that other ugly measuring stick up there beside yourself. Your measuring stick and your ruler is going to be a King James Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ, and you better get with it because that's what you're going to be judged on. And that's what he says. Now back over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says in verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now we'll start talking first of all about heady. Heady people. Now, what does heady mean? If you're the same as me this week, I had to find a definition for the word heady because I didn't know what it meant. And I looked through the references through the Bible and to find out what it might mean. And I found out that that's the only time that it's in the Bible. So when you get down to that point, what you got to do is you should start looking at some dictionaries and find out how a word's used. And in the 1828 dictionary, you get a definition. And that just don't automatically say, well, you take that verse. What you do is you begin to look at how that word or the definition's used, and you try to look that up in the Bible and see if that's corresponding with what he's telling you. And when you take the word heady and get the definition for it, it means this: rash, hasty, disposed to rush forward in an enterprise without thought or deliberation, hurried on by will or passion, ungovernable. And that's somebody that's heady. And when you look at the references in the Bible, and he begins to talk about different countries there, and talking about how hasty they are, and the things that make them hasty, you begin to look and you say, well, you know, maybe that does work there. So in verse 4 there, when we begin to talk about somebody that's heady, that's somebody that's hasty, and they rush forward situations without thinking about the consequences or the repercussions of what could happen. And they're ungovernable. Somebody that's heady is ungovernable. And people today are very ungovernable. They all think, we've all been taught that our opinion matters and what we think is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Our thoughts, our opinions, that's what we all should go by. And you take people today that you take somebody that's a boss at a job, and they begin to talk to somebody and they're trying to get something accomplished. If that person thinks that they're right, you cannot govern that person. You cannot help that person out. And somebody that's heady is ungovernable. You can't get something accomplished. You can't help them out. You can't give them reproof. You can't correct them. You can't give them any kind of help because they've already think they've got it all figured out. And that bleeds into other things, not just church, but you take sports. You get kids that are already think they know it all. They're already got it all figured out. You take teenagers that think they've already got it figured out. They're heady. They're ungovernable. And it's the same with church members. Church members look at a situation. They look at the pastor. They look at the deacons. They think, well, that guy, they don't know what's going on. They're making the wrong decision here. And instead of being able to be governed, instead of being able to be helped, what they do is they think, well, my opinion's right, and they can do what they want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And they don't ever look at the thought that, you know what, God's called these people to be in control. God's called these people to make the decisions. God's called these people to do the things that they're supposed to be doing in the church, and I need to submit myself under this authority. And it's real easy as a Christian, especially here in America, like we say before, to be heady, to be ungovernable. And it also talks about being hasty, and we as Christians can be heady in different ways. For example, with words, or actions, or decisions. Look over in Proverbs. Get the book of Proverbs. Get Proverbs chapter 21. When we begin to talk about being hasty, there's a lot of ways that we're hasty today, and people should realize that the culture lends itself to being hasty. We have convenience stores. We have fast food restaurants. Anything that somebody wants to sell, what do they always say? They say it's faster, it's quicker, it's easier. And what it does is it lends itself to creating a culture that is bent on being hasty, making hasty decisions. And when somebody wants you to buy into their a product or whatever they're trying to sell you, I mean, they're going to get on TV and they're going to take, you know, you got a brand new knife, and they're wanting to show you how great this knife is, and you don't have to sharpen this kitchen knife, and show you all the things that it can cut, how much easier it is, and that, you know, you don't even have to wash them, because all you got to do is rinse them off instead of washing them. And they sell you this stuff just on stuff that's easier to use, it's quicker to use, and they give you those lines, and it should show us something about ourselves, because when people begin to sell us products, they sell in a way that they know is going to be effective. And those things are effective because that's the way we are. Our culture, we are a hasty people. And we look at those commercials, they show you how great it is. They cut aluminum cans apart, and they show you how easy it is. And then they'll go over here and cut a slice an orange and show you how much, look, you can cut an aluminum can, then you can slice an orange. And the thought of the fact that, you know, I ain't never cut an aluminum can before, never even dawns on, you know, I don't have to worry about an aluminum can dulling my knife. I don't ever cut aluminum cans with my knife. But they show you that thing, and we're like, oh, man, look at that. You know, three easy installments of $19.95, and that thing's yours. Woo, let me write my check this day. And they get us that way because we're hasty. We're a hasty people. And we can be hasty with our words, we can be hasty with our actions, or our decisions. For example, it's talking about our actions and money. A lot of people today, we have problems with our money, and we spend it so liberally without the thought of tomorrow. And people today that have problems financially, and I know because I've went through those times, and I remember growing up, I was never taught how to handle money. I was never taught you save money. I was never taught pay your bills first. I was never taught any of that thing. I was basically taught without being told that way is get what you want to, and the rest of it's going to take care of itself. Something's going to work out. Somebody will give you some money. Somebody will give you a handout. That's the way my mindset was formed, is that's the way that you are, and something will work out. And the thought of, you know, well, okay, I've made some money here, put this back for this bill that I got coming up next week. That's something I had to go through problem and learning, because my mind was formed a whole different way. And today, you take people that have problems with finances, you'll look at them, and their problem is they're hasty. They spend their money like this right here. They don't think about tomorrow. They don't think about their bills. They don't think about what they have to pay. You know, they'll have thoughts like, well, you know, my son shouldn't have to do without this right here. Everybody else's kids get it. Something's going to work out. Well, that's just a hasty decision. That's a thought that's just a liberal thought. I mean, if there's not a thought there where you're thinking, I need to be thinking about tomorrow. I need to be thinking about what I owe or what I pay. People that have problem finances, they're living above their means. They get their thoughts and their desires above what they can buy. And what they need is all they've got to have is somebody to sit down with them at a table and say, look, you can afford this. You can buy this, you can pay this, and you can do that. The reason that we're having to bail out these credit card companies is because they are taking and going to these people that can't pay them money, and they're lending them money. They're giving them credit cards, and they know that when they give them credit cards to them that they can't pay it back. They're not going to be able to control those credit cards. You say, why do they keep doing it? Because they know that the government will end up bailing them out. Somebody will take care of them. Somebody will buy them out. Somehow it'll work. But as long as they can get somebody a credit card, put $5,000 on it, this person may have done paid back $10,000, but they were late and everything else, they still owe $5,000. And they just keep using all that money, and they keep sucking it up and spending on other things, and then they get in trouble and have to have the government bail them out. And it's just all a bunch of, it's hasty decisions. And people have problems with money, and they spend it without the thought of tomorrow. And look at Proverbs chapter 21, look at verse 5. It says this. It says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. And that right there is probably 70% of America today. They sit there, you get people that are diligent in the thought process. They grow up, they've had to learn how to handle money. They've had to, their mom and dad's taught them, you know, well, you work here, you live within your means. You don't blow money you don't have. And if your kid can only afford a $10 present, then you get your kid a $10 present. You don't get them a $200 present and then put it on a credit card that you're not going to pay off at the end of the month. And you don't learn that stuff. And you know what those people end up with? They end up in want because they're hasty. They never learn how to wait on anything and then get it. And that's it says in the last days that people are going to be heady. They're going to be ungovernable. They're going to have make hasty decisions. They're going to have it with money. They're going to have it with their time. People today, they use their time without the thought of what needs to be accomplished. And you'll take people, especially kids today, they'll have homework. And they'll get home and say, well, I probably ain't got time to do my homework tonight. And if you say, well, did you have time in school today? Most of the time, teachers today, they give kids time to do their homework at school. If they'll sit down and, instead of talking and run their mouth and sit down and do their homework, then they got time to do it. They'll bring their homework, their books home on Friday and have homework for the weekend. And Sunday night, what happens after church? Well, I got homework I got to do. I've had it all weekend. What is that procrastination? And I know growing up, that's the way it was. I mean, I can remember, man. I bring my books home on Friday, and then I'd Sunday night, and I'm thinking, man, I got to do my homework. And then I'm thinking, I got time tomorrow in between this class, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. And if I had some teenagers up here, there's some back there right now, and some of them just got out of school. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Somebody's in college, you wait till the last minute and do it in between class. Don't worry, they all did the same thing. Don't worry, shake your heads. We all know how it goes. You know how it goes. And what that's called is being hasty. And we're hasty with our time, we're hasty with our money. Another thing that we're hasty with is people today is where they go to church. You know, it says the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. That's just not talking about having money. You know, some people get a lot on their plate just because of what church they go to. They learn a lot about the Bible because of where they go to church. Some people learn absolutely nothing about the Bible because of where they go to church. But when it comes to making the decision on where they're going to go to church, they're just hasty. Well, this church is just right down the block. You know, it's got to do with location. They look at the church, well, you know, it's only right down the block. It's only a mile away. I ain't got to worry about it. I can be home this quick. I can leave, be down there, have church. It's only going to take an hour. When it comes to location, it just comes to location. They worry about the congregation. What kind of people go there? You know, is it rich people? Is it poor people? Is it family members? Is it not family members? And, you know, a lot of people, they grow up in church, and they've went to the same church their whole life. Their mom and dads went to that church. Grandma and grandpa's went to that church. They just automatically think that's where they're going to go to church, and they make hasty decisions just based on the congregation, the type of people that's there, whether or not they like the pastor or whether they don't like the pastor, and all those things. And the thought of, you know, I'm going to church for a reason, and what I'm getting there is what should be determined on whether I'm going or whether I'm not, never enters their mind. But you take somebody that's got a diligent thought process, and they're not hasty, and they sit here and say, look, you know, I'm spending an hour of my time Sunday morning, or 2 hours if I go to Sunday school, and I need to get some I need to get something for that. If I'm going to put 2 hours into something, I ought to be getting something back, you know, and it ought to be worth something to me. And somebody that's diligent in their thought process, they're going to look at that. They're going to look at what type of a Bible. You know, all this stuff going on about all these Bibles, you know, and they're getting ready to make a handwritten copy of the NIV, 30-year anniversary. They're going to handwrite it down and getting all these different people to handwrite it and all this stuff and making a big deal out of this NIV Bible. And you got all these, we was talking the other day, Brother Howard mentioned about the fact they're coming out with a lesbian Bible now. Over 200 and something different versions of the Bible. People ought to have enough sense to realize, you know what? 200 and something different versions of the Bible can't be right. But people are just hasty. I can't stand to go into a bookstore and look at Bibles because I have to listen to people getting a Bible and listen to a salesman talk to them. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking he's lying through his teeth and he probably don't even know he's lying. He's probably just been told the same thing. He's just repeating it. And it's all you can do not to just sit there and turn around and say, oh, well, no, that's not right. He's lying to you. It's worse than the these and the thous. And what they're telling you is a bunch of junk, buddy. He's lying to you. And they're sitting there and they're like, they might have an NIV Bible. And they say, well, this is the best-selling Bible in the last 30 years. You've got to be able to use. Well, let's just look at a difference here. Let me get my Bible out. And let's look at, let's get over there and look at Acts chapter 8, verse 38. Now, let me read it. Now, you read yours. And you read yours. They start to read it. Well, wait a second. Oh, there ain't no Acts 8:38. Oh, well, that'd been a weird verse if they took that out. All it said was thee, thou, thee, thou, thee, thou, thee, thou. See, they take more out than just the these and the thous. People ought to have enough sense to sit here and think, you know what? I might get mad at people that are King James Bible thumpers. You know what? You might get mad at them. You might not like them. But the fact is, there's something to what they're saying, and you better figure it out. But people, you know what they are? They're hasty. They let their reaction to somebody determine what they think about the King James Bible issue. And they don't do that about anything else. You know what? They may have it down about money. They may have it down about time. They're good business people. They're good business minds. They don't have problems with finances. But buddy, you talk about when it comes to the being a Christian, how ignorant they get. And now when I say ignorant, I'm talking ignorant. Because they know that in business, it takes this kind of diligence. They know that when it comes to their time, it takes this kind of diligence. But when it comes to finding out which Bible to use, all of a sudden they're going to lose their brains. It's funny to me how somebody that has so much sense in this world and can make something out of themselves, that when it comes to Christianity, all of a sudden, because of how people act, they're going to react the wrong way and make stupid decisions. And they got their kids that they're raising up in a church that they're not even getting the Word of God, and they're not even getting the right type of doctrine. What is it with people? They're heady. That's what they are. They're heady. They're hasty. And their actions, people are hasty with their actions, with money and with time, where they go to church, and even like business decisions. Like I was saying, you got people, they get married, they've done got a plan, they're talking about their major purchases, whether it's land, whether it's houses, the income they're going to be making. You know, they may realize, you know what, we're not going to be able to make it on this type of income. And they may have a something else. They may have something that they make on the side. They may keep aluminum cans. They may cut firewood. They may do stuff extra just on the side just to be able to make it. You say, why? Because they got good business sense. They got good business sense. But when it comes to Christianity, all of a sudden they become hasty. And as a Christian, you've got to watch yourself and make sure that when you make decisions that you're not hasty. Because everyone that is hasty only to want is what the Bible says. And you can be hasty with your actions. You can be hasty with your decisions. And you may have all that stuff straightened out, lined up, good, figured out, going down the road. But then it could come to your words. You could be hasty with what you say. And people out of anger, they say things. People out of frustration, they say things that they regret. And we've all done that. We've all said something and walk away and think, man, why did I say that for? And you realize, that maybe what you was thinking they meant wasn't really what they meant. And you seen that look, that confused look they gave to you when you said something to them, and you're thinking, boy, I've just put my foot in my mouth again. Why in the world can I keep my mouth shut? And the reason is because you're heady. That's why. You're hasty. You're hasty with your words. Look over in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Look at verse 29. The Bible says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. And what he's saying there is that your spirit, you're hasty with that spirit that's inside of you, and you're just ready to chomp at the bits because your spirit that's inside of you. Now, whether we're talking about a decision with money, time, or anything else, or if we're talking about words, there's something in you that's just like this right here. People call it being witty. You're just quick to be able to say something funny. You're quick to be able to get somebody, get a jab in on somebody. Well, I got so-and-so. I said they said this, and I said that. And that's just, you got that spirit that's just hasty to utter words that's going to cause problems. Look at Proverbs 29 to go along with that verse. Talking about your spirit, having a hasty spirit. In Proverbs 29, verse 20, it says this, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him." Now, when you get looking at this and talking about people that have words that are hasty, well, you know, I just say it like it is. Well, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you shouldn't say it like it is. Maybe you ought to just be quiet. And maybe you ought to just not say nothing. You say, why? Because the Bible also talks about discernment. And it also says that a word fitly spoken, a word fitly spoken is worth more than pitchers of silver and apples of gold. People say, a pitcher's worth 1,000 words. No. A word, if it's fitly spoken, is worth pitchers of silver. It's worth pitchers of silver. And what you can do is you can take a word, and there's an opportunity when you can take that word and the thought that you have in your head, and you can say it to somebody, and man, it just means everything in the world to them, because God had them right there where they needed to be. And all he needed was a word. That's all he needed. And man, it just affects. Ain't somebody ever done that? Ain't you ever been down or have something going on, and somebody just say one thing to you, and you think, oh boy, that's right. But boy, there's some times when you're just down in the dumps and you don't want to be encouraged. And last thing you want somebody to say, hey, turn that frown upside down. You know, you want somebody to shut up. You know, you want about a big fat lip. That's what you want to say. And what it is, there's sometimes that a word is fitly spoken, and there's sometimes it ain't. And the Bible says over there in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20, it says, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him." You know what? People end up and they're constantly in a mess. They're constantly in problems. They're constantly in a fight. They're constantly in the middle of an argument with somebody. Just problems all the time. You talk to them. Oh, so-and-so, man, so-and-so's into it. Well, how come? Well, he was doing this, and I just told him. That's just how I am. I just tell him, buddy. Just the way it is. You know me. I just tell people, yeah, you know, it's only been 30 years you've been like that and been through problem after problem after problem. You know, how about just not say something every now and then? Just be quiet. Just don't say it. How about, hey, I didn't get them. Hey, guess what? I could have got so-and-so, but I didn't. You know what? It kind of turns out a lot better. You don't always have to get somebody. You don't always have to be hasty in your words. You don't always have to just tell somebody, look, I just tell it like it is. You know, ain't no sense in holding back. Well, sure there is. Sure there is. It's called discernment. And the problem with us today is we're heady. We're hasty. We're hasty with our actions, with our decisions. We're hasty with our words. Now look back over in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, he says, "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." And so he says, traitors, heady, and then high-minded. Being high-minded. What is being high-minded? Look over in Romans chapter 11. Being high-minded, first of all, is not fearing God. That's being high-minded. Look over in Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, Paul's talking about the Jews and how the Jews have been cut off and how us Gentiles have gotten in on salvation, which is a great thing. And it's a good thing that we got in on salvation. But the way you got in on salvation is because of Jesus Christ and Him. And the problem is the way we are, people are, is when we're down and out, or if we're down on our luck, and being a sinner on your way to hell, whether you know it or not, that's kind of down on your luck. That's in a bad situation. And something good works out, and then you get in on it. Boy, that's a great thing. But when you get in on that thing, all of a sudden, after a while, we begin to take a little pride in what we've gotten. You take people that you know, you'll hear people, buddy, I just grew up hard, buddy. I just grew up rough, didn't have nothing, bless God, and I went to college, and I did this. I made something out of myself.
And when they were going through that, boy, they were pleading to God, wanting to help, and God's been helping them. God's blessing them. God's working things out for them. They get money. They get their life straightened out, and they start looking down on everybody else that ain't that way. You know why? Because pride's come in. They begin to think, I got myself to here. I did this. I did that. And we're all like that. And Paul notices that in here in Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, let's look in verse 13. He says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them." Talking about the Jews. "For if the casting away of them," talking about the Jews, "be the reconciling the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. That's what happened to them. And thou standest by faith." He says, you're standing by faith, by Jesus Christ. Then he says, "Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee." And the point that Paul's making is this. He's saying, don't get full of yourself because God's interested in you now. And God's got you straightened out and God's got you saved. He says, don't forget the Jews. That's what he's saying. Don't forget all about the Jews. And he's saying this to them. He says, because if God spared not the natural branches, take lead lest he also spare not thee. And what he's saying is, you're high-minded when you act that way. When you don't fear God. Because look in verse 20, he says, be not high-minded, but fear. And what happens is we begin to depend on ourselves. God blesses you with health. God blesses you with a good mind. God blesses you with a good wife. God blesses you with kids. God blesses you with a good church. You know what we begin to do? We begin to depend on ourselves. Oh, we can do this and we can do that and we can have this and we can have that. And all of a sudden, what happens? God gets kicked out of the picture. And you take a church that's as good a church as Trinity Baptist Church is, that stands on the King James Bible, that stands on witnessing and stands on the right doctrine and all that stuff. We can also get God out of the picture and sit back and look at ourselves and say, "I'll tell you what, we'll never do this. We'll never turn our back on a King James Bible. Well, by God's grace, we won't." And what happens to us is we begin to get high-minded, even over good things like that, even over a King James Bible issue, or even over the fact that we're helping people out, or whatever it is we're doing, whether it's Sunday school, teaching Sunday school, whether we're having a revival, we're always having good Bible-believing preachers in here. We'll never have in a compromiser. Oh, by God's grace, we won't. That's the way we want to look at things. And God, what he's saying is, people that's high-minded begin to depend upon themselves, and they begin to not fear God. You take America the way it is today. You take fornication and adultery. You take teenagers today. It's just not a big deal to have sex before you're married. Yeah. It's just nothing. It's not even a thought anymore. It is something that is just so far out there. If a person says, "Well, I'm saving myself till I'm married," yeah. Kids don't understand people. One kid look at another kid and say, "You're doing what?" Yeah. That's just not normal these days. The normal thing is these days is to have sex before you're married, and that's what I had. Look over in Hebrews chapter 13. And we're not just talking about people that's out of the church. We're talking about Christians. We're talking about people that's in the church. And that's the way things work out. Look over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. And what he says in verse 4, he says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." And you say, "Well, what's the point? What's that got to do with anything?" Talking about being high-minded is this. Is that you think God's going to judge a murderer, but he's not going to judge fornication. You know what he says there? That's not even a maybe thing. He said, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And you see people running around today, they got problems all over the place. They can't get things figured out. Seems like everything's going wrong. And they get sin in their life. And they don't understand it. They don't understand. Well, I wonder why things ain't working out for me. I wonder why this ain't working. I wonder why I'm having problems with here and problems there. And the thought that, it may be sin in your life never dawns on them. You say, why? Because they think it's okay. They get high-minded. They look at other people. and they put a different measuring stick up beside themselves instead of the ruler, which is the King James Bible. And there's no doubt about it. You know what God said? He said, if you're an adulterer, you're a fornicator, I'm going to judge you. Not maybe, not, you know, I'm going to have mercy on you. He says, God will judge you. He says that. Teenagers, He says that. God's going to judge you. You say, like what? Like sexually transmitted diseases is one way God judges. Get out there. I pulled something off the internet the other day off of Knox.com, the news, KnoxNews.com. And it said that right now syphilis is raging among teenagers. You say, what is it? That's God's going to judge you if you're an adulterer or a fornicator. It's not a maybe. Look over in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And what happens is we get high-minded over things. And you take this election, people wanting a Christian a president. And I do too. I want a Christian president. But people think that a Christian president is going to solve individuals' problems. A Christian president's not going to make us a great country. You say, well, what would make us a great country? Proverbs chapter 14 tells you. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. It says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You say, like what? Like being unkind. Like talking about the brethren. Like, you know, we have our own petty sins and we think that God's going to overlook our sins. But judge everybody else. Ain't that the way we think? We don't think as much about our sins, getting rid of ours, as we think about other people need to get rid of theirs. And you say, what happens? It destroys churches. It destroys nations. It destroys towns. You say, what does sin? You want to exalt a nation, then you need righteousness. And what happens is, according to Romans chapter 11, when we begin to quit fearing God, we become high-minded. And the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. And that righteousness that we need, that needs to be put in every person there is. We need to look at our own lives and quit looking and comparing ourselves to everybody else and say, I gossip. I'm ungovernable. I can't. I don't show up for church. I don't show up for prayer meeting. Why would God bless me? We sit around and we wonder why God won't bless us. Sometimes you ought to think, why would God bless me? Why would God just even be happy with me right now? I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't read my Bible. I don't pray. I was talking last week about people spending more money on dog food than missions. Maybe you spend more money on gasoline taking your kids to sporting events than you do missions. You know, maybe we're out of the time when all of us got pets and we're giving. You know, I know the sports craze right now. I know I spend a lot of money on gasoline. Taking kids to sporting events and to practice and to everywhere else along the world, and we drop everything we got. Somebody says, coach says, hey, you got practice, blah, blah, blah. You know, Stephen's got practice today at 1 o'clock. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave church. I'm going to go get in a vehicle. I'm going to drive him to practice. You say, why? Because the coach said so. That's why. And God says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Well, yeah, but, you know, Wednesday night, 15 minutes early for prayer meeting? Does God really mean, you know, to not forsake the assembly? Well, I don't know. You know, sometimes you might wonder why we've got so many problems in the world and so many problems in our own lives. And the fact is this, if we think for a minute that God ought to judge somebody else, or we think, you know, so-and-so, he just got a bad attitude. So-and-so's just got a problem. And we never look at ourselves. That's called being high-minded. And God says in the last days, Christians are going to be heady, they're going to be hasty, ungovernable, and they're going to be high-minded. They're going to be worried about everybody else in the world, and they ain't going to think God's got anything to say about them. And they're just going to look at everybody else. That's the way we do. Amen? Ain't that the way we do? I'm not talking about you and not talking about me. I know. We're all that way. That's why I said, I'm going to be dropping my kid. I'm going to be sitting down there. If it's 12:45 and my junior church is over down there and they ain't let out up here, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look out the window and think, it's almost time for practice. You say, you shouldn't think that way. I know I shouldn't think that way. But I'll tell you this, if I'm going to act that way over a ball game, bless God, I'm going to show up for prayer meeting. And I'm going to show up for church. And I'm going to be here when my head's hurting. And I'm going to be here when I've got this to do and I've got this to do. I'm going to go to church. That's just the way it's going to be. And you say, well, Brother Jack, you better watch what you're saying. Hey, I know I'm speaking as a fool, but I'm not speaking. I'm just telling you this is the way a person ought to act. That's what they should do. They should show up for prayer meeting. They should show up for church. And if they sit there and they drop everything else for the world, a boss says, I need you in an hour early. You know what they do? They show up an hour early. They show up.
And if you can drop everything you got for a boss, or to make an extra $15, or to make sure your kid's at a practice he's supposed to be on, don't you think God's worthy enough for you to do all the same stuff for Him? And then we sit back and we look and we think, why is everything so tough? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says God will judge fornicators and whoremongers. He's going to do it. Or whoremongers and adulterers. And the point I'm making is when God says He's going to do something, He's going to do it. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Righteousness exalteth the nation. You need to live clean. Your sin is not okay. You don't need to be dependent upon yourself. Look over to Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. About three books right there before the end of the Old Testament. Haggai chapter 1. You know, we sit around and we worry about our lives, we worry about our kids, and we never worry about God. And Haggai chapter 1, look in verse 1. Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. And you know what God's saying there? You're worried about everything else in the world. You ain't worried about me. And then you worry why things are going wrong. You better sit back and consider your ways and how things are turning out. And check yourself and quit worrying about comparing yourself among other people. And compare yourself to Jesus Christ and to this Bible and start claiming some promises from God and say, Okay, God, I'm getting this right. I'm getting this right. And I'm doing this. And I'm doing this. And then you can sit back sometime and say, Now, God, what's going on? And I'll guarantee you this. Guy gets right with God, and he starts doing the things that he's supposed to do. He gets in the book and starts lining up with the book and getting sin out of his life that's in his life. You know what? Those thoughts about, what about me? They don't even show up anymore. You say, why? Because once your head's on straight, you're worried about everybody else. And you think you got it good, pretty good. Because instead of comparing yourself to somebody that makes $50,000 more than you a year, all of a sudden you start noticing some kid that, or some parent that's got a kid that's got some problems. You notice that, and you think, boy, God sure is good to me. And that's the difference. It's who you're comparing yourself to. And when you get your head on straight and you get your heart right, then those are the thoughts, and you don't even worry about, well, what about me and what about me? You think, man, I am so blessed. And you see people that don't have anything that's right with God. They can get up and they can sing and they can testify about how good God is to them, and they're not even faking. And you see somebody with all kinds of money, they're making $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year, they're bitter, they're hateful, they're talking about people, they ain't happy with the church, they ain't happy with work, they ain't happy with their wife, they ain't happy with their kids, and they're just bitter and they're just complaining and they're talking about how that things ought to be done this way and that way and how I used to do things. And they ain't a bit happy. And somebody that's barely making it, barely getting by, don't have nothing, and boy, they're just happy as a lark. You see them, they're laughing, they're smiling. Man, they're talking about how good God is. And you think, how in the world can people get to this? You know how we do it? Because we get out of this Word. When we begin to get heady, we begin to get high-minded. We begin to live unclean. And high-mindedness has got to do with depending on yourself. It's got to do with thinking your sin's okay and not fearing God. What we need to do is we need to live clean. And we need to, we don't need to live our life without the thought of God. You know, God says put Him first. And if I said right now, if I put a piece of paper out today and I said, all right, on one thing I want you to tell me what is supposed to be first in your life, one word, everybody in here would write God down. Everybody would. You know why? Because you know that's what you're supposed to say. But if the second line said, what's first in your life, would it say God? And you know what the sad thing is people think they do have God first. Well, I just have to do this, brother. Well, I just have to do this. God's still first in my life. No, He's not. No. God, you know what God's saying? Consider your ways. And that's what He's saying. Just consider yourself. Consider yourself this morning. Where are you at?
Where are you at? That's what he's asking. Last, look at get Romans 12 and James 2. And talking about people that's high-minded, this is another way you can get high-minded. Romans 12 and James 2. James 2 first. Get James chapter 2 verse 1. He says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." Look what he says. "For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" You know what he's saying? He's saying, look, if you got somebody that comes in and they look like they got money, and you're going to go out of your way to be hospitable to them, and you want to say, "Well, brother, we need to be good Christians and be nice to them." Yeah, because we want their tithe. That's the way we think. "Oh, well, we'd like, need to get them in. Need to get so-and-so in. They got money. They got this. It helped the church." And then, you know, if that's our thought process, we're wrong. Especially if somebody comes in that looks like they don't have a good tithe or couldn't even afford to tithe, and they walk in and we say, "Hey, how you doing? Glad to see you." And you just walk on. You say, "What is that?" Well, I'll tell you what that is. Look over at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. He says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. Bless them which bless you. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things." In other words, be not high-minded. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Now that's the point right there, the only point through all that where it gives you a comparison and contrast. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. What's he saying? What he's saying is, don't be so high-minded that you're going to think all the people that's got money and all this stuff that's good, these people are somebody. You know. And then when you talk to low estate people, poor people, that you talk down to them. Right. You better learn how to talk to these bus kids the same way you talk to church people's kids. Amen. You better worry about where they got clothes just as much as you worry about your own kids' clothes. Or where they eating at today as much as where your kids are eating at today. You say, why? Because I'll tell you why. Get your concordance and find out what God thinks about people that reproach poor people. You become a reproach to your Maker. You want to honor God? Honor the poor. That's the difference in religions. If there's nothing else in the world that would show somebody a difference between a Muslim and a Christian, it's that right there. You know what God looks for? He looks for somebody that's going to have pity on poor people. And you look down your nose at poor people and poor people's kids, it ain't their fault their mom and dad's a bum. That ain't their fault. Make a difference in their life. Let them grow up and be something different. Instead of looking down your nose because God blessed you and you think you got it going on and it's all about what you've done and you've depended on yourself. Be not high-minded. And the Bible says in the last days, people are going to be heady, they're going to be hasty, they're going to be high-minded. All right, let's take a break.